When planning this service, Reverend Craig, being the generous person that he is, said, "Why don't you choose which homily you'd like to do, winter solstice or Hanukkah?" Well, I hadn't even thought about it before out of my mouth I proclaimed, "I'll do the winter solstice." You see, I've been here at UUCMC for 10 years, and I do love Hanukkah. But after 10 years of stories and homilies, what else could I have to say that you haven't already heard? And I've never done solstice. So ready and eager to dive into the winter solstice and explore our sixth source, spiritual teaching of earth-centered traditions, celebrate the sacred circle of life, and instruct us to live in harmony with the rhythms of nature. A source that's always spoken to me, but one that I haven't explored as much as I'd like to. I knew it was considered a time of rebirth. Speaking of birth, when I was growing up in the 80s and 90s, I was pretty sure that when babies were born, parents received a pamphlet. And I'm not sure what it was called, but I imagined it was something like the Universal FAQ, Frequently Asked Questions Guide to Raising Children, because it seemed that everyone knew in real life and on TV that children had to be home before the streetlights came on. Remember in summer when the sun was still shining at bedtime? And now it gets dark so early, sometimes before dinner. By December, I remember running for my life up the dirt road to my childhood home. Now, fortunately, I lived in a neighborhood with no streetlights. I was on the when it started getting dark system. So, as you can see, that was to my advantage. But although I did not have the language then to articulate it, I suspected that the winter solstice was a conspiracy for early bedtimes and more time for homework. But I have news. I have news, children. The shorter days as the school year begins and as the holidays approach, they are not a plot against us. It is science. Yesterday, people all over the world celebrated the winter solstice. And for those of us who live in the Northern Hemisphere, it was the longest night of the year. We only had 9 hours, 18 minutes, and 42 seconds of daylight. And those living in the Southern Hemisphere, it was reverse for them, the longest day. You can see on the image on the screen that we're completely in the dark. There are many rituals and customs in the celebration of solstice around the world. A common theme is the darkness, the rebirth of the sun. And it's believed to hold a powerful energy for regeneration, renewal, and self-reflection. In the darkness, we pause for a moment to absorb the quiet of the stillness, to feel the darkness and its powerful simplicity. Darkness can be scary because we're not used to it in this modern day with modern conveniences, cell phones and lights and everything plugged in our rooms that are glowing. But we're all born in the dark, in a woman's belly. We grew in the dark until we were ready to be born. Just like the earth, things are growing deep inside now, preparing to be born. We need the dark to sleep and to dream, and it's in the dark that we dream up all of the new dreams for the year to come. Have you ever lit a candle in the dark? Everything seems so dark, and then you light a candle, and the spark of the flame, just like the earth. We all have moments when things seem dark, when things seem scary in our lives, but the earth, nature, teaches us that no matter how dark it gets, that there's always a spark of light. The light will always return. A new day will always begin. In the darkness, new dreams are born. May the darkness of this season bring you peace. May the contrast of the season bring you wisdom. May the returning of the light bring you gladness. So be it. Blessed be. Amen.
The song Winter Wind by Victoria Ebel Sabo was inspired by her time in a snowy wilderness in the North Woods of Minnesota. These are the lyrics. Howl of the timber wolf and howl of the winter wind, voices of loneliness, call of the wilderness, voices call and cry out in the wilderness. Call and cry out in the forest of birch trees, scrub oaks.
Hanukkah. Yeah, well. Glad you're here, Jeannie. Hanukkah, it's about the miracle of the Jerusalem temple lamp oil lasting for 8 days. It's about potato pancakes fried in oil. It's about a military victory of the Judeans over their Syrian occupiers. It's about spinning a top to win chocolate coins. It's about liberty of religious expression and a refusal to assimilate. It's about getting presents for 8 days in a row. Well, like other winter solstice-timed holidays, Yule, Christmas, Kwanzaa, Hanukkah ends up being about a lot of things. At its heart, however, at this time of year in the Northern Hemisphere, where these holiday observances got their starts, Hanukkah is a festival of light.
That's not light.
How about that? The light coming out of deep darkness and the light cast by newfound freedom. The word Hanukkah comes from the Hebrew word for dedication, and it is the word itself which captures the most important part of the festival. In the 160s before the Common Era, so over 2,000 years ago, after many years of living under occupation by foreign empire, the Judeans suffered the last straw. Their holy temple was defiled, and practicing their religion was declared against the law. That fall season, a resistance movement rose up, and against all odds, within a couple of months, the temple was taken back, and Jerusalem was returned to Judean rule. Since they hadn't been able to celebrate the week-long harvest festival of Sukkot, they had vowed to do so whenever they had the temple back. And so they did, even though it was winter. That's why they celebrated for 8 days. But first they had to rededicate the temple. So they removed the pagan statuary, cleaned the place up, and lit the central oil lamp, much as we light a candle here in our worship service, to dedicate the space as a sacred place of gathering. So Hanukkah light is an important reminder. Those things that are important to us, the way we live our lives, the values that guide our behavior, our families, the community of congregants of which we are a part, all of these require ongoing dedication, which takes work. We dedicate ourselves to one another and to the world, and then we rededicate ourselves again and again. And tradition tells us that a small portion of oil, enough for a day, lasted all 8 days of the temple's rededication celebration. From that came the tradition of frying things in oil and the dreidel game, whose letters spell out a miracle happened there. Gift-giving is a more recent tradition, just like it's more recent for Christmas, and which, for both religious observances, developed mostly in this country in the last 100 years and then has been exported around the world. Hanukkah sheds light on what's truly wonderful this time of year. The diversity of ways that we can collectively remind ourselves of the light we are to one another. Hanukkah shows us what a miracle it is every time we care enough to dedicate our attention to purposes greater than ourselves. Savoring these moments in the context of family, community, and traditional storytelling, with everyone chipping in and doing their part, is a light that Hanukkah can give even to those of us who weren't fortunate enough to grow up celebrating this custom. It's not too late to start. What would it take for you and your family to gather for a dedicated time, once a night, for even a couple of days, to think about what's important to you, the things for which you are grateful? Hanukkah light reminds us that the greatest gift we can make or receive is the gift of ourselves, just as we are to one another. So let those little lights of ours shine. Happy Hanukkah to all, and to all a rededication to what is most precious in our lives together. I invite us to turn to hymn number